Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 149. And you can probably tell that something's amiss with me. That's right, I got the world's worst cold right now. It hit me on Monday, and for the last couple of days, all I have done is blown my nose and coughed, and it's really, really freaking annoying. So, but it is what it is, you know, as they say, the show must go on, and so I'm here to present episode number 149, and I'm going to talk about my guest here in a minute, but I'd like to talk real quickly about episode 148, which featured DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, Will, and myself talking about WWE Fastlane and the most overrated wrestler hashtag of all time, and I thought it might get controversial, and it did. I got several comments saying that we were right, and several comments saying that we were wrong. And, you know, the bottom line is this, that I appreciate the folks that sent their comments. Because, you know, I'm comfortable enough with myself and then with this podcast to say that, you know, my opinions are my opinions, my thoughts are my thoughts, and you're more than welcome to agree with them or disagree with them. And I think I can speak for my guests and say that they feel the same way. And that's what I love about podcasting, is that you can present your ideas and people can interact with them and send you comments and let you know what they think. And so once again, I appreciate all the comments that I got, whether you thought that we were right on the money or you thought that we were way out in left field. Thanks nonetheless for sending them over. But let's talk about my guest who is coming on the podcast for this episode. Her name is Stephanie Phillips, and Stephanie created a graphic novel called Kicking Ice. And it's a graphic novel about two young ladies, Bella and Sky, two little girls who are playing hockey and how they interact with some of the other players. In particularly one named Derek, who does not really think that girls belong on the same sheet of ice as he. And it's a great book. I discovered it on Kickstarter just as the Kickstarter was ending. So I sent a message over to Stephanie, and she's coming on to talk about that project. And I'm really, really excited about it because it's merging two things that I'm very passionate about, hockey and comics together. And it's a great conversation. We sat down via Skype, and we chatted the other night. Stephanie is located down in Tampa, Florida. And I appreciate her taking a little bit of time out of her busy schedule to sit down and chat with me about Kicking Ice. So I think you're going to enjoy that one. But before I forget, I wanted to mention it's really coincidental that Stephanie came on this episode of the PVD Cast. Because if you recall, not too long ago, just about a couple of episodes ago, I talked about the NHL trade deadline. And I'd mentioned that I felt the Tampa Bay Lightning were the team to beat in the East. And lo and behold, Stephanie's a huge Tampa Bay Lightning fan. You're going to hear us towards the tail end of our conversation talk about the past and the present heroes of the Bolts, as they like to call them down there in Tampa Bay. And I still stick by that. I think Tampa Bay has got a real good shot at making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I know that hurts me to say. That hurts me to say because I would love to see my Pittsburgh Penguins three-peat, but nonetheless, before we get into that, let me just remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD Cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You know, they have a huge library. As I mentioned, 180,000 titles, but they have a huge inventory of all different types of books, including just tons and tons of hockey books. So if you're like me and you love the sport of hockey, definitely Audible has a book for you, or quite frankly, 100 books for you on hockey. But nonetheless, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your free audiobook. Well, first of all, I'm very happy that I didn't start coughing midway through this introduction, but that small victory aside, let me throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I will be back to talk to Stephanie Phillips, and we talk about her graphic novel, Kicking Ice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being joined here by Miss Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie, how are you this evening?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. Now, your project is a graphic novel called Kicking Ice. So why don't you tell the listeners at home a little bit about your project, please?
Yeah, sure. So it's a graphic novel that kind of features two young girls learning to play hockey inspired by their heroes in the National Women's Hockey League. So while they're learning to play, readers kind of also get to learn about the inception of the NWHL, players in the league, kind of the mission of the NWHL through the eyes of two girls that really aspire to be in that league as well and play professional hockey.
So some of your characters that you have in the book are Bella and Sky. Those are the two main characters. Yeah. And they have a little bit of a conflict. Your antagonist is quite a unique individual, one that probably is more, dare I say, real than some other antagonists in other books, Derek. So what's the conflict between those characters?
Yeah, so I mean, when I wrote Derek, you know, I don't intend for him to be this kind of conniving, you know, Disney villain. The cape and like the, I don't know, I always picture the Disney villain with those like super long pointy noses. And I mean, Derek is just, I mean, he's a kid. So Derek is learning too. And part of what I give Derek the opportunity to do in this book is, even though he does tease the girls and not to say like, oh, it's just okay, Derek has an opportunity to learn from his position, which is essentially girls aren't good enough to play on his team or even on the ice with him, and he needs to prove that he's better than the girls. So he gives them a really hard time about it. He bullies them. But kind of the cool thing about kids is they learn, they adapt quickly. And so whilst, you know, you get to see the kids acting impulsively at times, Derek also has an opportunity to kind of learn from being on the ice with girls. And Bella and Sky also have the opportunity to prove to others that they can play just as well as the boys can.
So part of this story that you wrote is a little bit autobiographical, correct?
Yes, in part. I mean, I didn't play hockey when I was as young as Bella and Sky are in the book. I started more with roller hockey in middle school and then ice hockey when I was a teenager towards the end of high school. But yes, so some of my experience gets to be put in the book, and also kind of the experiences of friends that are parents that have daughters that have played hockey. There's a little bit of discussion in there. I have a friend with a daughter that plays hockey that is just like relentlessly picked on by the same one boy every single time she's playing, and this other boy is on an opposite team. And so, you know, some of it is it's all born from real experiences, and it's by no means the only experiences that any woman or girl has while playing hockey. But you know, we wanted to try to encapsulate some of what it's like to play hockey, but also inspire, show kind of the inspirational efforts of the NWHL to kind of push that boundary a little further for the next generation of girls as well.
Gotcha. So how did the NWHL, easy for me to say, the National Women's Hockey League, how did they get involved in the project? Did you approach them? Did they approach you? Was it just a happy accident, so to speak?
It's a little combination of happy accident and us kind of approaching them.
Okay.
So the parts of Kicking Ice had been written for a while, in terms of I've written kind of a mini series about hockey and something I was kind of intending to just be a web series. And the publisher that I'm working with now, Ominous Press, was really, really into that story. And since we were in the middle of a discussion about how an Olympic year was coming up, and this was, you know, not, this was like a year and a half ago, and just about how cool it would be to get some of those players or the NWHL or something like that involved in what I was doing, talk to them, see what they were interested in kind of collaborating with us on. And I previously worked for SB Nation's The Ice Garden doing some freelance writing, covering college women's hockey. And so I kind of had some contacts and I was like, you know, well, let me see what I can do. And I ended up on the phone with the PR rep for the NWHL, and just immediately he was like, okay, tell us what you need from us and what the next step is. And so they were pretty immediately into the idea. Danny Ryland, the commissioner, has also been really supportive, and that's really cool to kind of see them not have to justify a comic or a graphic novel. They were just like, yes, this, let's do it. What's the next step? How do we get on board? So that was a really cool experience.
That's excellent. That's excellent that they were very open for doing that. That's great for them. And, you know, I guess that, would you say it would be fair to state that they get a little more exposure, as well as your book gets a little bit of exposure from the kind of, I don't know if you want to call it cross promotion, so to speak?
Yeah, I definitely think it's mutually exclusive. I mean, our goal in writing this, really at the forefront of my creative process, was showcasing some of the really cool elements about the NWHL. So you get to see in the book something that I think is just amazing, that players come off the ice and they spend so much time meeting fans, signing, having conversations, just being real people, but with these girls that look up to them, which is a really cool thing to kind of see happen at games. So I really wanted to give this authentic feel for fans, or even somebody new, to just what makes the NWHL and the growth of this sport kind of unique and special in a way that I don't really see a lot of other sports organizations doing on really such a large scale. All of these players are committed to community efforts, to community building, and really being a part of supporting the journey of kind of a next generation of athletes, which is pretty unique and just amazing to see. So part of the book, you know, I want to celebrate what they're doing. I want to celebrate the league, the players. We're also adding a section of kind of historical information. So the Canadian Women's Hockey League will be represented in there, as well as Minnesota Whitecaps and other women's sports organizations, college hockey, things like that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the creative team, if you will, because I'll be very honest. This is one of the things that I found very interesting and very striking. The artist for the book is Lee Motor.
Yes, and we actually have two artists. So
oh, okay.
So we have Lee Motor and Jamie Jones, who's a Tampa native. So both of them are kind of working on the book. Since it is a pretty long graphic novel, we have sections of it. So Lee's doing a bunch of the work, as well as Jamie coming in and helping us out, and both of them are just exceptional artists.
Well, yes, I mean, I was going to mention, as a big comic book geek that I am, Lee Motor, synonymous with Batman, Legion, Superman, lots of different projects for Image as well. So how did he become involved with the book?
Lee actually does some work with the publisher, Ominous Press, and okay. So when I was saying, here's what I have for the story, I guess his name kind of got thrown out pretty immediately, given some of the work he's also done on books like Dragon Prince, where you get to see him really do a good job drawing children and children's reactions to things, which has kind of been my favorite to work with, just remembering what it feels like to just be an impulsive child, which I think Sky is our more impulsive character, and it's been kind of fun to write. And he really captures these facial expressions really well. And Jamie does too. Jamie just sent me a scene a little bit ago of Derek when he's like making a face. And it was just like, you know, he's close up at a camera angle, kind of making this silly face at the camera. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, these facial expressions on the kids from both Jamie and Lee are just phenomenal. Like, it's something that I think makes the artwork in the book work so well, because they're children. And I think that's fun to play with and kind of fun to see them develop.
Mm-hmm. Your colorist is Marissa Louise. And yeah. Talk a little bit about her background and how she became involved with the project, if you will.
I've been a fan of Marissa's actually for a while. She does amazing work, and she was first choice colorist. She was available. She was invested. She's actually from the Buffalo area. So I didn't even know this going in, but we had a conversation and she was just like, oh yeah, Buffalo Buttes, Buffalo Sabres, I am all in on that. So she loves the sport. She likes the concept, and she's just been... just been doing really awesome work. She's cool because sometimes she knows what we want when we don't. Like, we'll send her covers and things like that, and what she comes back with, like her vision for it, we're like, oh yeah, that is exactly what we wanted. You nailed it. So she's great to work with.
And of course, we can't forget about the last individual on the creative team, and I hope I do justice to his last name. Troy, is it Pierretti?
You know what? I say it wrong too, and I'm sorry, Troy. If you listen to this, I'm so sorry. I love you. We've been out to dinner and everything, and I know I say his name wrong. Like, for a year now, I've said it as Petiri, and then I heard somebody else say it, and I was like, oh, I say it so wrong. We're going to call him Troy, the amazing person doing letters for us. And Troy's in LA. He's a huge LA Kings fan. Troy's lettering is fantastic. He's done a lot of stuff with Top Cow. So if you've ever read a Top Cow book, you've probably seen Troy's work. Lettering makes a huge impact on the page in terms of spacing and how the characters say things, emphasis. And, Troy's a pro. He's been doing this forever. He's easy to work with. I've worked with him on pretty much all of my other projects, so we're kind of used to working together.
Gotcha. And we'll touch base on some of those other projects here in a little bit, but I just wanted to really talk quickly about Ominous Press. They are your publisher. And I think you mentioned and you alluded to it a little bit that they were totally on board with this project to begin with. Did you approach them for it? Were you looking, as you mentioned, you were going to kind of do a web series, and then did you happen to just stumble across them? Or how did the process go for getting a publisher?
Yeah, this was kind of a happy accident as well. Okay. I was not even in the process of shopping the book around. I didn't really have a solid art team together. It was just something where I was like, there's this thing I've kind of been writing on the side, along with some other stuff I've been working on. And I think we just kind of had a very casual conversation about it at a convention. And then the follow-up, I got a phone call that was kind of like, hey, do you actually want to make this a real thing? Because we'd be interested in partnering with you. And it kind of snowballed from there pretty quickly. Within a few weeks, we had an art team together, we had a direction, and we were already building the Kickstarter. So it just was a very quick snowball, almost like a blur. And so I think in a lot of ways that's good, though. Everybody, it was just like a round table of yeses where here's this idea I had about women's hockey. And, it's a very male dominated industry in the comics. And yet every single person has been like, yes, on board. How can I help? And that's a really cool reaction to see to a women's sport.
So if we may just talk a little bit personally about yourself, you have mentioned on your website that you are a student at USF and you're working on your PhD in rhetoric and composition.
Yes, I am.
Did that background make it easier or harder to create this story?
I want to say harder because when you're trained to write as an academic, like a lot of my academic writing is... Man, we use a lot of words that are not, I think, totally accessible. And, you go to write children. So let's maybe scale that back. I think the toughest thing, I've written comics that are definitely more mature in nature. And so writing my first children's comic, I think the coolest part and also the hardest part has been like, how did I react to things as a child? And you know what? It's probably the same way I react now. A lot of whining and maybe some crying and begging for cookies. So not much has changed. but I think the academic writing has at least given me a lot of nuts and bolts to put together really descriptive panels for my artists, where in hockey that really makes a difference, because even if you know the sport as a fan, it's a little different when I start explaining. Actually, to both Jamie and Lee, there was a moment where I'm explaining like kind of a scene with some gear in it where we're going through hockey gear, and I realized that neither of them had seen a hockey player like without the jersey or socks. So like, what kind of padding is a hockey player wearing? Like, you see bulkiness, but what's under there? And so I was like, oh, so a lot of the descriptions, being a professional writer for a long time, at least helped with giving them a lot of technical information for movements and gear and things like that.
And now the Kickstarter has closed, correct? And it has been successful.
Yep.
So when will the book actually be released? And when can those folks that contributed to the Kickstarter, when will those particular incentives be sending out and whatnot?
Yeah, so we're planning on getting everything sent, like physical copies, to backers by late August. Everybody will have digital copies probably sooner than that. It's really just, having 800 backers means that we have to send out 800 things, and now I'm trying to think in my brain what that process is going to be like. a lot of trips to the post office. They're going to know me really well. So I think really the big thing is accommodating time for us to ship them out. And then between now and August, we will have some stuff for backers as well, especially if they find us at conventions. We're going to release a convention schedule for the art team where we will have small preview books and we will kind of be traveling together. So especially like if you're in the Buffalo area, Tampa area, I'm trying to think of where else we have some stuff, North Carolina, Heroes Con. We're going to be releasing kind of a more fuller detailed list, but at each show we're planning to have kind of some exclusives as well. So you know, Jamie, myself, I think Marissa will be at Heroes Con with us in June. So there will be chances to kind of meet the team, get some cool free stuff from us before the actual physical book comes out, which we hope will be kind of fun for everyone.
And what about somebody that wants to get their hands on the book, but they missed out on the Kickstarter? Are you going to have copies available, say, through a website or through Ominous Press's website or whatnot?
Yeah, actually, we have pre-orders up already, which Ominous worked fast. I actually didn't even know it was up, and I saw a tweet go out the other day that was like, oh, buy the book on pre-order, and I was like, wait, what? That's cool. I believe if you still just go to our website, kickingice.com, it now will redirect you to a pre-order link where you can go get any edition of the book, the hardcover, soft cover, digital, and I think even some of the other like kind of bonus content we were selling through Kickstarter, you can buy individually there.
Oh, cool. And all those conventions sound great, but no conventions up here in Ohio. I noticed that.
We need some. I'm invited. I am not a poet. I love travel, so.
Well, maybe off air, I'll tell you about a couple. Anyways, one other thing, a couple other things here real quick. I do want to talk about your other projects, but I noticed too, while doing some research, that for years you were involved in the sport of Muay Thai.
Yes.
How did you get involved in that sport?
Well, there's not a whole lot of ice in Florida. Right. And I wanted to remain competitive, and I'm not sure what in my brain clicked. Maybe there's something, some like aggressive part of me that was getting my fix on ice. And I was like, you know what? Maybe hitting somebody in the face is a great idea, which my mom said, no, that's not a great idea. It was a great idea. Like, I love it. I actually, I was a trainer at a gym in Tampa. I say past tense only because I'm currently injured. So I've been in physical therapy for about 6 months, but I hope to return after that. So yeah, I fought for a long time. I did, you know, just amateur level competitions and, helped train with the fight team. And I, you know, I had private clients, I ran classes, and I lived and breathed that sport. And, I actually do have a comic about Muay Thai as well. So, I guess my comic and, sports tie-in has continued to other activities as well.
You weren't seriously injured, were you?
I mean, I think there's a culture where in martial arts, especially when, you know, you've got like the guys that want to be Conor McGregor, that when you're hurt, you kind of keep going. And I didn't know how badly I'd actually hurt myself. And I kind of kept going for a while on it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I made a back injury much worse. Okay. So, but I'm in physical therapy and I've been mostly getting a lot better. So maybe one day I'll see my return to the ring.
Have you found the same? Type of, I don't want to say the word discrimination, but I can't find another word. Do you find the same kind of, I guess, discrimination that you wrote about in Kicking Ice that you do in Muay Thai? Because I presume that that's a heavily dominated male sport as well.
It's less overt in Muay Thai, and okay. I'm really, really fortunate that the gym I train at, for the longest time, I was the only female there. And then after that, I was the only female trainer there. And so what I did, I actually started, I approached the owner of the gym and I said, you know, I think maybe to get more women in here, we could do like a women's self-defense class. We could do some women's only classes because, I mean, this is an intimidating sport. You come in here and there are guys like, you know, yelling when you kick things and grunting and punching each other. I was like, you know, maybe if we give it like, you know, once a week, a space where it's just women, it would give them a chance to kind of get used to the sport before trying, you know, a co-ed class. And, you know, the gym owner was like, hell yeah, like, let's do this. And so it's been very supportive. And from then on, you know, we have a pretty solid group of regular women that are always in the gym. And the guys there are great. You know, every once in a while you do get, I keep making fun of Conor McGregor, and I guess I slightly apologize to him. I don't know him as a person, but maybe he's great. I don't know. You get these people that are just wanting to come in and be hyper aggressive. Like they have something to prove. And so like you have those moments where like, if I'm the one running the class, I've had guys come up to me and be like, so where's the trainer or where's the coach? And I'm like, that would be me. And I've never had anybody just like leave, but I've had them be really weird about it. Or like, you know, I'm in the middle of instructing somebody and it's their first class ever and they want to tell me I'm wrong, which is, you know, it's few and far between, but they exist. And I'm just lucky that my gym is, you know, really supportive of me as a fighter and a coach and things like that.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some of your other projects. You mentioned that you have a book about Muay Thai fighting. What's some of the other projects that you have out now or ones that are coming out?
Sure. I do have a book coming out called Yawan, the Devil Within. So Yawan is actually a Filipino word that translates to the devil within. So I kind of helped readers out a little bit with that one. But it's a word that they use for essentially possession. So it is a horror story drawn by my friend Mon House, who's in Uruguay, and he's incredible. He has these like crazy, creepy, like black lines that just make everything in the book look terrifying, which is perfect. And then colored by Dee Cunning from England. And that book, actually, if you find me at a convention or even, let's see, like even in Tampa, I think I'll be at Free Comic Book Day in May and I will have some copies of the first issue. So we have the first issue and then the rest we do have a publisher announcement that I'm not sure I'm allowed to make, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut just in case. But we will have the full thing hopefully in your local comic book shops by the end of the year, definitely.
Okay. All right. Obviously, and I think I kind of overlooked this question. I probably should have asked it earlier. I assume that it's safe to say that you're a comic book fan.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay. Who are some of your favorite comic books or favorite comic book heroes, or what are some of your favorite comics to read?
Batman is always a good one. The Batman White Knight series with Sean Murphy has just been visually really, really stunning. Actually, I've been reading I just caught up on Killer Be Killed today, which is, I think, my favorite current, like, indie series. That one has got me pretty hooked. And then another friend of mine, I don't know if you've heard of this, did a anthology with a publisher called Lion Forge called Puerto Rico Strong, and it's an anthology of stories, and all proceeds from this anthology go to helping the hurricane victims in Puerto Rico. And most of the authors and artists, I think almost all of them, are actually Puerto Rican. So that one is in local comic book shops. You can also order it on Amazon. And I just picked up my copy. It came out today, and it's fantastic so far. Like, absolutely incredible to read what they're doing for that.
Excellent. We should check that one out here. I double check over at my own local comic book shop here in Ohio and see if we have it there. I've heard very good things about Killed or Be Killed. That's Ed Brubaker, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
I've heard very good things about it. I have yet to check it out, so I will definitely have to get my hands on that too. So, let's talk a little bit, though, that you are an avid Tampa Bay Lightning fan. In fact, you you said you've enjoyed that franchise since it came into existence. Yes. What are your thoughts on the 2018 season for the Lightning?
I'm pretty excited. watch Miller get a hat trick the other night, I think he's fitting in pretty well. Sad about the loss to Ottawa, but going to the game Sunday against the Oilers, so I'm hoping for a little bit of a better turnout there. But always amazing to watch the Lightning. I love watching them. I grew up watching them in person and on TV. It's the only sport I ever watched as a kid, so I'm really happy to see them doing so well this season.
I think that they could very well be the coming out of the East, being the Eastern Conference champion. I think that at the trade deadline, adding McDonough, adding JT Miller, as you mentioned, makes them an incredibly stronger team. And they were already strong to begin with. So I think that they are the team to beat in the East, personally.
I think so, too. And then, Vegas is, if we get matched up and play Vegas, that's going to be a really, really interesting series.
Sure. I'm going to be honest, Stephanie, I don't know if Vegas has what it takes to get out of the first round. But no? Who knows? I don't believe that they get out of the first round. I think that they're going to have that Cinderella tale of a great season, but I think they get bounced in the first round. But that's just my humble opinion on that. Who was your favorite Lightning player, or who is your favorite Lightning player?
They keep getting rid of my favorites. I am a huge Brian Boyle fan, so when we had him on the Lightning, like, I liked him regardless. So when we had him briefly, I was very excited. My current favorite player is, I guess it's hard not to say Kucherov, because that's been a ridiculous season to watch. And also, anytime Braden Point scores a goal now, it just looks like, I need it in slow-mo. How did you do that with your hands? So
Yes. How about some of the past greats that were on the Lightning roster?
St. Louis was my all-time favorite player. I actually, my hallway is just a giant framed, signed St. Louis jersey. I think he's probably the reason I started playing hockey. Anderchuk, who I've met in person a few times and is just one of the nicest people. And I've got, quite a bit of signed Peter Klima stuff in my house, which is an interesting one, but we've had some pretty amazing talent on the Lightning throughout the years.
Yeah, Peter Klima, that's a name I haven't thought about in ages. I'm not going to lie. I kind of...
there's actually above me on my desk right now is a signed Roman Hamrlik and Peter Klima puck.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, what advice would you give any writer that wants to start their own book, got their own project in mind? What's some keys that you would say to them? What key advice would you give them?
The best advice I have ever been given when I said I wanted to write a comic was, somebody looked at me and said, okay, then make one. And I was like, oh, all right. Like, that sounds terrifying, right? But it's not. Like, you write it. You just write the thing. You find an artist. And yeah, it costs money. Like, you want to pay your artists and take care of your team. But at the end of that, you have a comic, and that's kind of your calling card. Is just like, the best business card you could give somebody is your comic book, your work, and that's really what speaks for you. So, the best thing I was ever told was just go make a comic, and I have not stopped doing that since.
Well, there you go. There you go, ladies and gents. Anything else you want to tell the listeners out there?
No, just, if you want to pre-order Kicking Ice, we've got some stuff up at kickingice.com, and I am always available for questions, Twitter or email or anything like that.
You know what? Let's throw those out there. What would be the, where can people find you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc.?
Oh yeah. Twitter is @Steph_Smash. So Steph Smash, just a little underscore in between Steph and Smash. And I think I just have open messaging on there. So probably the easiest way to reach me if you have any questions about Kicking Ice or anything like that.
Okay, gotcha. There is a Twitter for Kicking Ice, correct?
Oh yeah, that's right. There is. Thank you for reminding
That's
me.
Okay.
@KickingIce.
All right. And also I believe Instagram @Kicking_Ice. And also on Facebook, just look up Kicking Ice, correct?
Yep. All correct.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it that we have for this episode. Stephanie, I want to thank you very much for coming on and being my guest here this evening.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And folks, if you get a chance, you need to check out the book. It's definitely well done. And Stephanie, again, one more time, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great.
With that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. So if you will, please stick around. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Stephanie Phillips, talking about her project, Kicking Ice. It's a great book, ladies and gentlemen. You really need to check it out. And if you're interested, as you heard in our conversation, there's lots of different ways to find out about the book. Again, I'll just recap. On Twitter, you can find Stephanie @StephSmash, and that's STEPH_Smash. You can also follow @KickingIce on Twitter. There's an Instagram @Kicking_Ice, Facebook page Kicking Ice. Just a whole host of different ways at which you can follow Stephanie and her projects. And, I again appreciate her coming on and talking to me about her project.
But at this time, let me tell you where you can get in touch with yours truly. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp, and you can even leave me a message at the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. And ladies and gentlemen, as if you don't already know, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell you because maybe you need a reminder, or maybe you want to tell a friend or two about this great podcast. You can get this podcast a variety of different ways. PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the easiest place to get this podcast, but it's also found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and of course, the Echo Network. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for putting up with my horrible health. I apologize for the cold. Hopefully the next time that you're hearing this voice, I'll be 100% in the health department. But nonetheless, thank you very much for listening. I will chat in each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.